Our Good Friday service. We join with the Gem Church, 10:30 here at our church building here, and come early, seats go fast. So Good Friday service, 10:30 here with Gem. Matthew 21:19 says, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So our journey to Easter is all about preparing our hearts, our souls, and our minds to reflect on this last week of Jesus' earthly ministry, his early life. And so we start this morning on our journey with Palm Sunday. Let's pray. Father God, again, we return thanks to you for who you are. You are you are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our King. And we return thanks for all of what you've done for us and what you continue to do for us. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us this morning again through your word, that you would plant some encouragement or some rebuke or some needed lesson in our lives through your holy word. These are words that belong to you, Father, and to only you. And so we say thank you for what we're about to receive. In your name we do pray. Amen. So thanks to those skit guys on the video who more or less gave us a nice, simple explanation of what Palm Sunday is all about, I'm now able to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at the beginning of our journey to Easter. And we're going to look at it from a bit of a different vantage point. The eyes of the government. The eyes of those who are in charge. What did they see on Palm Sunday? So Palm Sunday focuses in on Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, coming in peace, riding on a donkey as the king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This was something that was prophesied long ago through the Old Testament prophets. And the people responded with shouts of joy, shouts of praise, and shouts of Hosanna, which literally means save us or Savior. Used by the crowd in this form, Hosanna became a verb, an action word. The crowd is praising Jesus because they recognize him not only as a king, but as a Lord, as a Savior. They're looking for someone who would be coming to save them from the oppressive Roman government and those that they had left behind in charge. The people hadn't quite yet figured out that Jesus was more concerned about their eternal life than he was their earthly life. That lesson comes later. So you can well imagine, though, that all of this praise and all of this adoration for Jesus did not sit well with the governmental leaders or the religious leaders, all of which led to Jesus' eventual death on a cross about 5 days after this parade of palm branches and singing. But I want to go back even further to see where the seeds were sown for governmental discord against Jesus. Where did that come from? And I want to take us back to the beginning of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived at Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So when Herod the king heard this, he was deeply troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where this Messiah was to be born. So here we have representatives from the east, these wise men or magi as they're referred to. They come from the east looking for this new king which had already been born. And rightfully so, they went to the man who should know the answer, the sitting king, King Herod, to find out where this new king had been born. And their purpose for coming all this way from the east was to worship this newborn king. This sounds kind of Christmassy, because it is. Hopefully my sermon does not bring a snow flurry in, but we'll keep going nonetheless. We're told that when Herod hears this, he got troubled. He was troubled in spirit. Well, troubled because first, he didn't like the idea of there being a new king. No king ever wants to hear about a new king being born. Second, he didn't want anyone to be worshipped other than himself. Because that's what you did. You worshipped the king in those days. And this is where our journey to Easter really begins. This is where the seeds of governmental discord kind of got planted, at least against Jesus. Herod's expectation is to be worshipped. His expectation is to be praised and adored by his people. Because he's the king who's over the Jews. But God's expectation for Jesus was that he would be worshipped, that he would be praised, that he would be adored as the king of the Jews. Because of man's expectation to receive praise, Jesus, who was the recipient of this praise, he became the object of their wrath. Man's wrath. The government's wrath. The religious leaders' wrath. But listen to Luke's telling of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Luke 19, verses 36 to 40. Luke says this, he writes this, "As Jesus was going, they were spreading their coats on the ground. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if they become silent, the stones will cry out.'" I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. God's expectation for Jesus is that he would be the object of our praise, of our worship, and of our adoration. And if we don't cry out in praise of Jesus, well, then the stones will. Because all of creation, everything that was created by God, recognizes who her creator is and the praise that is due to him. Man's expectation is a little bit different. Matthew 2, 16, going back again to the beginning of Matthew. Herod became very enraged and he sent and he slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. After hearing about this new baby king, Herod gets enraged. And he wants to go out and slaughter all the babies that are 2 years old and under. See, the wise men, they came from the east to worship Jesus, to worship this new king. Herod wanted this new king dead. To ensure that this would happen, he ordered that any child 2 years and younger be killed. Because Herod wanted the praise. Herod wanted the worship, and Herod wanted the adoration of being the king over the Jews. Because he didn't want to be usurped by another king, a boy king that was named Jesus. But God had something completely different in mind. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, the father of Jesus. Appeared to him in a dream and warned him in Matthew 2, verse 13, "Get up, Joseph, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for your child to destroy him." Then we read in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, some time has now passed. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, who was in Egypt, and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are now dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to the land of Israel. And thus Jesus' life was spared. It was protected, bringing home the reality of the verse that was written so long ago in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." See, what man intends for evil, God intends for good in order to save many lives. Herod caused the death of many children in hopes of killing Jesus, this newborn king. But God, in order to save even more people, protected Jesus because he knew that his son would become the savior of the world. And thus it is Jesus who deserves our praise, our worship, and adoration because of the salvation that he brings with him. You see, God the Father, he knew that one day, 33 years after the birth of his son Jesus, he knew that the King of Kings would be led into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, receiving what he only deserved, shouts of praise, hallelujah, and hosannas. He deserved praise, and he would get that praise because Jesus deserves our worship. That's God's expectation for us in this journey to Easter. He expects us to worship his son. It was the same in the days of Herod, and it's the same in the days of the Notley Trudeau government. No matter what might be going around us, no matter how awful the government and religious leaders in our country and world are conducting themselves, God's expectation for us remains the same. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. That's it. Worship Jesus. And only Jesus. Because if we don't worship Jesus, the stones will cry out. But that's not their job to cry out. It's ours. It's ours. So our focus this week, as it rightfully should be, every day of the year, every day of our lives, our focus is to put our praise and adoration back onto the one who deserves it, and that's Jesus, our Savior. While man expects to be praised, God expects his Son to receive glory and honor. While man intends for evil, God intends for good. I contend that governments, the religious, the unsaved, the God deniers, they do not give Jesus the glory he is due, because they themselves desire his praise and adoration and worship. They want to be given the credit when things are going well, but they don't want to accept the blame when things go awry. They want to be adored in victory, but they refuse to be humbled in defeat. They do not have our best interests at heart. They have their own self-interests in mind. You know, another created being a long time ago felt the same way as our God deniers do today. And he said this to God in Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. He said to God, he says, I'm going to ascend to the heavens, and I'm going to raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of the north, and I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. And Lucifer, because he desired to be praised, worshipped, and adored like God, he rebelled against God in his own self-interest and was ultimately cast out of heaven. No one, and I mean no one, and I'm going to get some pushback, I know, but no one deserves praise, worship, and adoration. I don't deserve it. No preacher deserves praise, worship, or adoration. Give us a pat on the back, encourage us, tell us we're doing a good job, but don't praise us. Don't worship us. Don't adore us. Pastors, elders, deacons, pianists, our song leaders, our worship leaders, none of us deserve your praise, worship, and adoration. Your parents don't deserve it. Not even our children deserve it. No government leader, no matter how good they might be, deserves it. Only Jesus deserves our praise and our worship and adoration. It all belongs to him. Don't give it to anyone else. That's God's expectation. We who are his creation, we're the ones to give it to him. And this frustrates. And I think it angers many, many, many people who are looking to receive what is only meant for Jesus. I have a family, a relative in my family. And maybe I'm offside with this, I don't know. But this family member is really good at writing cards. They'll send a card for anything. You know, birthday, Christmas, Easter, birthday, anniversary. By the way, speaking of which, Rick Berg texted me the other day, and he said, he encouraged me, he says, Frank, congratulations. Have a happy anniversary. What are you talking about, Rick? It's not my anniversary. I looked at the calendar. Oops, it's my anniversary. So I quickly texted my wife, honey, I'm sorry, I forgot our anniversary. She goes, what are you talking about? It's not our anniversary. And then she texts me back, oops. Rick was the only one who remembered our anniversary. Well done, Rick. Well done. But I have a family member who writes cards for everything. Give them a gift. They'll write a card and thank you. If you send them a thank you card for the thank you card, she will write another thank you card. It's crazy. However, if you reverse it, and if she gives you something, or if it's her birthday or a special celebration, and you forget to send it, she gets bitterly angry. Bitterly angry. And I asked her once, why do you get so angry? It's because, she says, the reason I send the cards is so that you send one to me. She wants to be recognized. She wants the praise. She wants the adoration. And that's not right. We don't do what we do because we hope to receive something from one another. We do what we do in the Christian church because we do it for the one who is our Father in heaven, who has given us the gift of salvation. That's why we do what we do. Yes, we encourage one another. Of course we do. That's scriptural. But we don't praise one another. We don't worship one another. And we don't adore one another. That belongs to God. And this frustration of not receiving what Jesus gets, leads to an agenda. For Herod, his agenda was to kill all the babies in hopes of killing the newborn king, Jesus. For the chief priests, for the high priest, and for Pilate, the agenda was to arrest and sentence this adult king Jesus to death on a cross after they saw all the praise he was receiving during his entrance to Jerusalem. For you and I, sometimes when we don't get the recognition we think we deserve, we react maybe not in a violent way, but with more subtle agendas like anger or distrust or gossip or lack of support. Character assassination, if you will. But for our Good Friday service, which is at 10:30 this Friday, we're going to look at these different agendas at play during our journey to Easter. The government's agendas, our agenda, and ultimately what God's agenda was for Good Friday. And until then, let me remind you of God's expectation for us. Praise, worship, and adoration of Jesus, and only Jesus. If we don't, then the rocks, the stones will cry out, and that's not their job. Let me close with this verse from the book of Revelation 15, 3 and 4. This is what we'll be singing. This is what we'll be saying when we get to heaven. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways. King of the nations, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are worthy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. All praise and glory to you, our King. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father God,